B-Pod Studios.
That's an app.
Now.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dave Dombrowski, Red Sox president of stuff, baseball president. What is his title? It's the GM.
Stuff.
It's like, what is his official title? The president of baseball ops?
Is that? I think it's president of baseball.
It's so stupid. Yeah. General manager. Okay, you handle the baseball team.
Ops sounds badass.
You handle
come down
the roster.
Like dressed in black.
Handle the roster. He's got a couple of things. Number one, this from John Heyman. There are no talks with J.D. Martinez at present. And it feels like the Red Sox are awaiting J.D. Martinez's year-end call on the first of his three opt-outs. GM Dave Dombrowski, quote, we're hopeful he doesn't opt out. Why do you think that is?
Hopefully he doesn't, because he has no farm system. And then you got to go out and spend for the next guy.
I'll tell you why.
Like, you got the guy, he could play in the market.
Because they're not going to pay him again. They want him on this contract, or they don't want him at all. Why else would you be hopeful?
Yeah.
Because you want what? You think the deal you signed is a fair deal, right? And you want to pay him on that deal. It tells me they don't have an interest in paying him beyond what they pay him now.
Who's his buddy? He's always been
tied to.
And
they are right to think that, by the way. As great as J.D. Martinez was for the team last year, they are right to think that way.
See, Martinez has always been tied to Paul Goldschmidt, right? Like,
and Goldschmidt got a big deal.
Five for what? He got five for 150, I think.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the type of deal you're looking at for Martinez. Say he goes out and even plays better, and they respond and say they win a whole nother one.
You want J.D. Martinez at $30 million a year?
Yeah.
Yeah. You?
Yes.
I don't.
You don't?
Nope.
Why?
Because I still have – listen.
Based on, like, the
I
two guys they would have to add
now,
together
I
to replace it, you know what I mean? But I'm saying that
I
now
just
based
don't
on
believe
–
I've never believed J.D. Martinez is going to hold up over the life of the deal. That's how I feel about it.
Well, that's fair. I mean, that's fair from that respect, but I say, yeah, based on, I'll pay on the value of winning. I didn't know if he could play.
I'm going to stick with what I said in the very beginning of this deal. I hope he plays great for 2 years and opts out, and they say, our time together was great. We're now not going to spend the money on you. Now you're into your 30s, and this is the time where we say, it's been good for both of us. We wish you the best in free agency. Thanks for everything. I get why they don't want him to opt out. He's got an opt out every year after this season. So after every year going forward in this deal, he can opt out. Would it be better if he opted out maybe after 3 years instead of two? Probably. Maybe. If he's still playing well. Yep.
See, the part of he's going to opt out because that's why he wants to be that everyday player, because it wants to increase his value. You know, he wants that type of deal. This guy is the one that just feels so affected and offended by everybody else getting the type of money, and he doesn't get the respect that some of these other players garnish, and that's what he wants. He wants the money.
Meanwhile, Dave Dombrowski says he will not talk contract extensions once the season starts. That is the message to his players.
Yeah, right? Mookie kind of said that, right?
He said, the team will not negotiate deals after opening day, March 28th. Quote, we're focused on winning this year. I think the players are into that. Unless something unexpected happens, we're not going to do anything once the season starts. It's just so empty, hollow, ridiculous.
Because what if Betts' camp comes to him and says, you know what, we're ready to talk?
Of course you're going to talk.
Well, you're not going to take Betts' call?
This is nothing more than trying to create a fake deadline and leverage against whoever they might be talking with right now. And I would say this probably applies more to someone like Chris Sale than it does someone like Mookie Betts. What, so if Mookie Betts comes back in tomorrow and says, guys, I'd like to talk about doing a deal for 8-200 again. Dave Dombrowski is going to hang up the phone. No, we have a, again, not tomorrow, but after March 28th. No, we have a policy. No, we don't talk about extensions after March 28th. We can't do that if we're focused on winning. Stop. You would sit there, you'd have it. even if it's not about coming back to the table over the deal they offered last year. What if Mookie Betts' agent just calls on April 1st, says, Dave, let's have a conversation. No, we can't have a conversation. We're focused on winning too much over here. Let's say it's not April 1st. Let's say it's June 1st. Mookie's agent picks up the phone, calls Dave Dombrowski. He's not taking the call. If the guy calls, it says, Dave, let's talk about doing an extension. No, focused on winning. We're too busy winning over here.
Too busy winning.
Can't talk to you about that.
Can't take the call. We're down in Pawtucket. No. We're going to check out
sick
all the farm
winning.
System
so,
guys.
Right yeah, we're so laser.
Tired of winning.
And you know what? As the president of baseball ops, I'm so laser focused on winning, I cannot have these conversations with you.
You know, like when you call.
I mean, it's not like the player himself is walking up into Dave Dombrowski's office, kicking back and saying, Dave, let's talk about a deal. Like, that's not happening. But what do you mean we're focused on winning? It's foolish. Don't buy into that crap. That's a lie. And you know what? He's not the only one that does it. It's not the first time the Red Sox have claimed that. If you have a player that's good, player you like, a player you want to have around, and their agent picks up the phone and calls us, you know, let's talk. Let's get together. Let's do lunch.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a contract extension. No, 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 no. Can't have that. That'll be a distraction to all of our winning. It sounds ridiculous. It sounds so ridiculous. I hate when GMs do that. Who doesn't see through that? Oh, can't talk about it now. Season started. It's all about the winning now. Focused on what we're doing here. Focused on the games.
But get a closer.
Can't have that. By the way, does Craig Kimbrell have a team yet?
No.
He doesn't, right?
No. Is that him saying, too, like, we're closed for business?
There's a lot of guys that I don't think have teams yet.
What a weird, like, you know, signing period and how it's sort of developed the last couple of years with baseball and how late it goes. Like, why wouldn't he ever, why would a guy like this not have any takers at, say, even $10 million a year? You don't think Kimbrel would sign a two-year, $20 million deal right now?
Latest with Kimbrel is with the Brewers.
The Brewers
serious
are,
talks.
Yeah, the Brewers yep. are interested. Okay.
What's serious talks? Like, serious.
They need
like,
him, and they're talking to him about signing him.
Yeah.
They're in contract talks.
Yeah, 1 week away.
You better get it done by the 28th. A lot of teams are adopting this winning focus policy that bans contract talks after opening day. You can't have them. Like, what does that mean? Dave, what are you doing that you need to focus on the winning on the day-to-day that you're not available to talk about contracts with agents?
I can see him doing it after opening day. I don't want five players just because we want to think we're doing extensions here.
What's different for him after opening day? How does his day-to-day change?
Not distractions.
There's probably less to do after opening day once the roster is set and once everything's off and running.
I'd worry more about your comments that, you know, your second baseman's going to play between 120, 125 games and he's starting the season on the DL.
Let's jump back to your calls.
I'm sorry, not the DL.
I see some Red Sox calls. We're going to get to those. Also, the Red Sox are looking to shop one of their catchers. We'll tell you about that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
First, our introduction. Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Red Sox are finally going to move on from one of their catchers, Sandy Leon. They're actively discussing possible trades right now, that according to ESPN yesterday.
I'll leave them with what, 10? 10 catchers left?
They'll have two. They've carried three. It's time. It's time to go with two and not three.
Yeah.
You can't carry three catchers. You can't, especially when you're trying to bring back Pedroia at some point, which, again, I don't think is going to work out. But still, they're going to move on from Leon. I know the pitchers love him. The pitchers will need to learn to love somebody else.
Yeah.
Because Blake Swihart obviously has a lot of potential.
Too talented.
He needs to play more.
Yeah.
He does. So they're going to move on from Sandy Leon. $2.5 million. They could potentially just give him away. Player to be named later. Have him.
Yeah, not a big deal. He's got legs like a phone, like a telephone pole. Thick upper legs.
You basically gotta find someone to take him at this point.
Stump.
Someone just needs to take him. Who needs a catcher? You can have him. Get the money off your books. Save it for something else. So
hurry up and do that for the start of the season.
They're going to do it. Yeah. It'll do it. It'll be gone by the time they get to, again, the big opening day date when they can't.
Close the books.
When the books are closed.
Gotta hurry up and do it. Got 1 week.
617-779-0985. Paul is in New Hampshire. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you doing? This is Paul from New Hampshire. I got a question for Zoe. I wasn't aware that these long-term deals had insurance. And I'm curious, who pays for that? Is it the player?
You're talking about baseball?
Yeah.
No, the team's got...
If they get hurt, right. What's the big deal? They got insurance, no big deal. I'm curious, who pays for the insurance?
You ever play in a golf tournament where you're sitting there in a par three and you really think that the car company or the dealership is going to give you that car for free? You don't think that they fully...
No. I know someone has to pay for it.
Right.
My question is it the player
team.
Or the team. Organization
yeah, the
or
team.
Is it ultimately the
baseball.
Fan?
The team.
Is it the fan that's got to pay for it?
No, it's not the fan. It's the team.
The team. The team takes out the policies.
That's what they have CBAs for and everything. Yes. The team does that. The team in the league. Well, that's why I said they got the best union, man. Fully guaranteed contracts. Nothing like it. The fans. Yeah, they hold a bake sale.
The team takes out policies. That's what they do. And they run for...
Increase the price
and
of beer.
They run in 3 years. I know this. They run for 3 years each time they take out a policy on players. They're usually 3 years long. And then you can renew them if with a new physical for the player. So, 3 years.
Something over there?
I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was. Tim in Fitchburg on JD Martinez. Nice. Hi, Tim.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Good.
Hey, quick name drop for you, Bertrand. Ray Bedard, cousin of yours. Fitchburg?
Nope.
Greg
Bedard?
Bird. What's that?
Greg Bedard?
Nope. I don't know that person.
Ray. Ray. Never mind. Let's get to business.
Somebody lied to you.
Yeah, apparently. They were trying to get some notoriety, and it didn't work now. So what I was going to bring to the table and ask you guys was, you know, with Benintendi coming up too, and DeVers and Betts, do you think that decision to wait to talk to Martinez, until his opt out might have to do with making sure they have time for those contracts? And secondly, do you think it scares him away seeing, you know, the astronomical deals that are going out right now and how they may be able to wait for that market to kind of cap off? And maybe that's wishful thinking.
Well, I think it's a couple, Tim, I think it's a couple of things. One, JD Martinez is going to turn 32 years old this season. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the deal they signed him to, 5 and 110, is a deal that I think they like. It's a deal that over the first 3 years has the same amount of money. That's why I said maybe he opts out after 3 years instead of two. It's 23.75 in each of the first 3 years. And then the money actually decreases in the final 2 years. So JD Martinez is probably, if he continues to play well, is probably going to opt out of this deal. I don't think when you're talking about a guy who after next season will be going into a year in which he'll turn 33, or 2 seasons from now he'll be turning 34, you're not going to sign that guy to a monster deal. You're not going to sign him for more money than what you're already paying him. And so that's why I think they're hoping he doesn't opt out. They're willing to pay him on the deal. They're not going to be willing to pay him if he opts out and wants to sign more. And that means Dave Dombrowski is hoping that he doesn't opt out, because Dave Dombrowski, as you said, Zoe, will be tasked with finding his replacement and making up for the production.
Yeah,
and
that's a problem.
The other
that's a
factors
big problem. And what's the window with
Well, the
this
other
team
factors
too.
That Tim brings up are real, too. Potentially signing Chris Sale, talking to Xander Bogaerts about potentially re-signing, the future of Mookie Betts and whether or not you're going to pay him. There's a lot of stuff going on there.
What's Chris Sale look like in 2 years? What does David Price look like in 2 years? What's the realistic window for this team? Not the team, but really Dombrowski, right? Because you really don't have a farm system.
Right.
His big signings are going out and spending tons of money. They've never really been afraid of a contract or money. His team's always spent. Look at David Price. You know, they'll go out and get that guy if they need it. And when you're in it, you win it. I mean, when are they realistically not going to be in it to win it? Maybe in 3 years. Like at some point, you hit reset. You're not going to be able to keep rotating this thing and stay as consistent. That's the way that sport operates. Look at the Yankees when they went down for a while. Now you think they're back on the upswing. You know, at some point, they've got to hit reset and restock it. And we don't know when that is. It's probably in 3 years. So he's in it to win it now, like he stated. I'll close for business next week.
Patrick in New Hampshire on the Robert Kraft situation. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, so I just want to make a comment. I can't remember which one of you said it, but why didn't the police down in Florida just pull the fire alarm to get him out versus the bomb threat? Well, as a firefighter, I can speak that there's kind of an unwritten rule between police and fire that we don't want to screw up our public trust with the people by having the cops, you know, dress up as firefighters in a fire alarm situation and go in there and nab a criminal. It ends up losing credibility for firefighters in that regard.
Oh, yeah, but why couldn't you send the real firefighters in?
Because you're not using it in the right way. You're creating that access point, and then you may get a point where people don't trust the firefighters anymore.
Or even worse, they don't trust the fire alarms anymore.
Right.
That would suck.
Yeah, he makes a good
fire
point.
Fire alarm goes off and you just sit there.
Well, I didn't think of it like that. I'm thinking, if you have a fire, you could still send the cops in.
Fire alarm still means something in this country.
Right.
It's not like a car alarm.
Right.
Right. Please. You say that, one thing. You yell shark. Now
that's true. You want to
you yell barracuda.
You want to keep that divided line between
right.
Say, huh? What? Fire and police. I get it.
That's another thing, too. Say you say, okay, we got a bomb threat. Say somebody in that nice little cafe next door, the owner, runs out, jumps in her car, and flies out of there and gets T-boned on the highway. Who's responsible for that, for yelling bomb? Or saying, we got a bomb. You got to get out of here. You know, then you all of a sudden, everybody's in a panic.
Right.
We're running.
Another good
boom!
Point. Right. What if somebody got hit by a car, Beetle? Did you think of that?
I hadn't thought of that. It's interesting. It's
risky.
It's an angle I hadn't considered.
Are you coming back around on the notion that maybe Robert Kraft was in there as an undercover officer the second time around? Because that theory was floated weeks ago.
That was a good call.
That was.
I think that was a New Hampshire call. Was that Maine?
It was like Beretta.
He pulled up.
Keep
in
your eye on the Sparrow.
84 Trans Am pit car.
The Rockford Files.
Night Rider. Day Rider. Call me Day Rider. Jesus.
Dan's in Haverhill. Hi, Dan.
How's it going, guys? How do you guys feel that the Patriots are going to address QB in the draft?
Give me Will Greer, second round. Take it.
See, I don't think, after last year with Garoppolo leaving.
I don't think that's happened. That's the way I would. That's the way I'd do it. If he fell there in the second round, I'd take him.
With Garoppolo leaving last year, I felt like we all panicked a little bit on drafting a QB. I don't think they need to draft one this year. I think the class next year with Herbert from Oregon, Fromm from Georgia, Tua, it's going to be a deeper draft class. I think they should go address that need next year.
Okay. So you're in it to help Brady now with the 2 years
left. You think they're going to be in it for Tua?
No, he's saying that the draft class is deeper.
But the draft class is going to be deeper.
I can
see
that.
So as a result, we're going to be able to get a better QB in the later first round or second round.
The fact you're even putting Tua in the top three there tells me this draft class is way deeper than what you're going to have next year. Kid Herbert from Oregon, he's okay. I mean, you got five or six guys that could go in the top two rounds this year. I don't think there's a ton going in the first round. Like Haskins has gone up the board. Yesterday, everybody, they're all in on Will Greer now. Kid had a good workout. Now that run's going to start somewhere with the defensive lineman. Then those quarterbacks are going to fall, and if Greer's there in the second round, I think you take a peek at it. Just say you wait till next year. You're in it to win it with Brady now. Hey, help Brady out. If Garoppolo's here, wasn't playing. Brady's playing. So it doesn't matter Jimmy's not here. Still going, man. Two more years. So help him out. How about let's get a receiver? I don't want him drafting a receiver. I want him to go sign a receiver. Let's trade for a receiver. But we draft a big tight end in the first round. That'd be nice.
Marcus Smart fined $50,000 yesterday by the NBA. We'll talk with Sean Grandy, voice of the Celtics, about that coming up next. Here's Hardy with headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Ben Simmons near midcourt. And Embiid got knocked down by Smart, and Embiid wants a piece of him. The two of them are nose to nose in the middle of the lane. Embiid took a tough spill near the baseline, and Smart just kind of stood there and watched them fall.
Wow.
I didn't see what precipitated that.
Oh, that's on.
I mean, all it was just a steal at the other end, and now Marcus Smart's going to have to be led off the floor. Well. And Embiid's going to be led in the other direction.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand on this Friday. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Welcome in Sean Grandy, voice of the Boston Celtics. Hi, Sean.
What's up, guys?
Come on, Sean.
What do you think of your boy Marcus Smart there? $50,000 kicked out of the game. Is the punishment appropriate for him?
Well, it is based on the repeat offender idea that the fines keep escalating. That's the maximum you can fine a guy without a grievance being filed. So I think it's a message of escalating behavior.
He's Brad Marchand.
He's Brad Marchand.
I mean, it doesn't surprise you when it happens. You kind of chuckle at it, but in a weird way, I said this to Beatle the other day, I said I kind of liked it.
I understand that sentiment. I think people looked at this team particularly early in the year and said there isn't enough of that. Particularly, you know, it's a pretty cerebral team, generally speaking, and you always want to find that mix, right? So that impossible, intangible thing of that combination of intellectual and playing smart and playing hard and having a little bit of that grit. And it was interesting because at the start of the year, you have Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris. And those are the two guys that bring the other stuff we're talking about. But it's hard. Max and I would talk about this early in the year. It's hard when you're not in the starting lineup to have that sort of cachet.
Yeah.
And it's funny that those two guys entered the starting lineup, and that's when things started to turn around. So, yeah, overall, I'm kind of with you instinctively in that. I'm someone who did not think that was that. I thought it was a huge game for the Sixers, and they absolutely had to win it. And, you know, it took, a 40 free throw disparity and three Celtics being out for them to barely beat them at home. They had to win that game, and I've been of the opinion, you know, because we've talked about it on this segment, I felt for 6 weeks now that the Celtics and Pacers were going to meet in the first round of the playoffs, and that third place was probably gone. So I didn't think it was that big a deal.
All right, so Philadelphia does get the win, and a win that for them I think is a confidence booster, but does anything really change for the Sixers with that win? And I know that the probability is that these two teams, the Celtics and Sixers, will not meet in the playoffs. But if they were, theoretically, would that change anything to do with that series?
I mean, they know that they can maybe beat them at home if everything goes right. Obviously, in that scenario, the Sixers would have, you know, home court advantage. They're certainly a better team than last year. They're a lot more talented than last year, and that was a difficult playoff series last year. But remember, as we talk now and try to analyze a Celtics-Sixer playoff series, the things that would have happened for that to take place, remember, the Celtics will have had to beat Milwaukee, and Philadelphia will have to beat Toronto. So those teams will be in a completely different emotional place in terms of confidence by the time they would somehow meet each other, which would be in the Eastern Conference Finals, which we're talking about, you know, being, 2 months from now.
Hey, and Rozier said it after the game, too. I was, expecting the confetti to fall. Why can't the Celtics take their anger for Philadelphia or just that matchup and take it into every other damn team or series that they play in? Yeah, they can't wait to get Philly.
I think that's a great question, and it's what it makes you think about is, all right, maybe they don't have that anger for, say, Indiana, who they're going to play in the first round. Well, you know what's a good way to get your anger up against the team? Have to play them twice in a week and then play them in a playoff series, and that's what's going to happen with Indiana. Two of the final six or seven games are against the Pacers. And I think playoff series sort of create that, even when there is nothing there before. By the time you get to the third or fourth game of a series playing the same guys again, that sort of exists. So if the Celtics are better, I'm not saying they are or they aren't, but instinctively I think we all feel they are better off. If you get a little bit of that anger going, maybe the playoffs is a better place for them.
We're talking with Sean Grandy, voice of the Celtics here on Zolak and Bertrand. So when it comes to those two Pacer games that are left, Kyrie is going to take some breaks here over the final stretch. Should we assume he's going to play in both of those Pacer games?
I would think. I would expect you had a back-to-back this weekend, and then you have a back-to-back next weekend. The back-to-back next weekend is Indiana on the Friday, and then Brooklyn with kind of a strange quick turnaround when the Celtics play a 7 o'clock, 7:30 game on Friday, then they play a 6 o'clock game the next night in Brooklyn. That's one I'd be looking at. I would expect those two games are significant, and you're going to get the full lineup there for no other reason than you're going to hear a lot of talk about, well, it doesn't matter what our seed is. I am not completely bought into that. I don't think if anything is going to be accomplished here by this team, they're going to come close to meeting or exceeding what people expected of them at the start of the year. I just think you don't want to start the playoffs on the road and have to win three series on the road to get to the final. So I think there is something about getting to that fourth spot. I think there's something about those games. Indiana's finally having their schedule catch up to them, and they're taking some beatings now out on the West Coast, and things are getting close. So I'm not of the opinion that the 4-5 thing doesn't matter. So I think those games are somewhat significant, if less for what could happen in a playoff series than just getting home court. I think for the Celtics to do what they need to do, I think we all know that first round series with Indiana can't be a 7-game drag out difficult series to get through.
You're worried about Baines. Initially after the game, they put it at second degree. Danny came on our morning show and said, well, it's probably not as bad, maybe sort of day to day. We'll take a peek at it in a day or two. But you worried about him?
Yeah, because the Celtics clearly need him. It depends on certain matchups, obviously, in the playoffs, but I think we've run these numbers a million times.
Yep.
The Celtics are just a better team. They're a much better defensive team with Aaron Baines, and they're a much better team in general. They win for the last 2 years, this year especially, they win when Aaron Baines plays. And as we started talking about toughness and what qualifies as toughness, and Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris and those guys, we don't talk about Aaron Baines enough on that list.
You know, over the calendar month, the last month, the Celtics have had 7 games in which Kyrie Irving has scored 30 or more points, and the Celtics are 3-4 in those games over the last month. Is there a case to be made that Kyrie is not enough for this team when they get to the playoffs, that he won't be able to carry them, that he's going to need help from, you know, a secondary player to sort of step up and be that guy?
No, there's no question he will. What Kyrie can do, the reason the Celtics have a chance still and that the season isn't a write-off is because the Celtics will have to do what they didn't have to do last year. They're going to have to go on the road and win series. And the reason they can is because Kyrie can steal those games for you. Everything changes in this entire season, which has all this kind of bad feeling in people's mouths about what's happened. If the Celtics, let's get past Indiana and say the Celtics win that series. If Kyrie goes full Kyrie and the Celtics win one of those first two games at Milwaukee and that series comes back here for game 3, the Garden will be so deafening and such a difficult place to play. All will be forgotten and forgiven. Kyrie gives you a chance, but of course you're going to need those other guys. And, you know, those games where Kyrie has big scoring games, often the Celtics are behind and he goes crazy in the fourth quarter because he's usually their best option to try to get them close. But obviously that's not a... there's not a correlation. Oh, Kyrie has a big scoring game and they lose. It's usually they are losing, so Kyrie ends up having a big scoring game to try to get them back in.
We were kind of reminded that the other night when IT had his video. Not that we're going to ask you about the video, but you know, some of the highlights, and you see how nuts the crowd was going, and everybody's in green. Like, they haven't had that. It hasn't felt that way. But that's what it does in the playoffs for them.
I thought, you know, listen, that was a significant night, and you realize a player that played for not even two and a half years as a Celtic and the love he generated, I think it was a pretty good and timely and interesting reminder, as we talked about in the weeks leading up to it, of what the Garden can be when they are completely, you know, in love and all in with the team, as they were with this team at the start of the year. I'd never seen a Celtics, including 08, I've never seen a team, a season as anticipated in the 18 years I've been here with Max. I've never seen a season that was as anticipated as this one and how prepared the fans were. They were so in love with last year's team, and they were so prepared to fall in love with this year's team, and there's been a lot of, like, show me. But that thing is still there to be, you know, rekindled when the weather gets warm.
All right, Sean, appreciate the time as always.
You got it, guys.
See you, buddy. Take care.
Sean Grandy with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Have you Googled Florida Man and your birthday yet, so?
No.
It's the Florida Man Challenge. We will explain next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zillack and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Can we have fun?
What is fun?
I demand that we have fun.
Let me spell it for you.
Okay.
Happy. Friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. N is for anywhere and anytime at all.
Down here in the deep blue sea.
What's the matter, Hardy? A perplexed look on your face.
No, just the song. It seemed particularly jarring this time around. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's a weird little bump, huh?
Yeah.
This story
is that SpongeBob?
Yeah.
From this morning's USA Today, the Florida Man Challenge is alive and well. Americans are searching the internet to see what wild crime story from Florida is associated with their birthday.
Why is Florida? Why's it always going to be Florida?
Because it's Florida. And there are reasons why Florida has become the butt of this viral joke. There is no simple explanation for the phenomenon, according to accounts from local journalists, a prosecutor, and a First Amendment advocate. Crime stories are relatively easy to report on in the state. That means when a Florida man allegedly commits a crime with salacious details, it's not difficult for reporters to find out.
Sure.
But the culture of the state can't be discounted. Other experts will say you'll hear descriptions of Florida ranging from diverse to crazy. Few would describe it as a boring place. Here are three major reasons why Florida has become the home of the Florida Man meme, and we'll explain in a minute.
All right.
Crime stories, easy to report. We covered that. There's a general craziness there, and
general. That doesn't sound like a real reason, but okay.
A general craziness.
This is weird.
Gil Smart, who is a Treasure Coast newspaper columnist, writes, "There's a general craziness here that's almost palpable. Maybe it's because there's so many people like me who aren't from here. They're expats of sorts. They come here to hide, to escape, to forget their past, to reinvent themselves. There's also the Florida Man cycle." A final explanation, which is offered by the president of Florida's First Amendment Foundation.
Okay.
Their explanation is, quote, "It's kind of sad in one sense that Florida gets such recognition." She said that a clue that something is amiss, the phrase Florida woman, hasn't gotten such viral attention. Peterson believes the attention to Florida man makes such stories more interesting, more likely to be reported. It then becomes a cycle. It feeds itself.
Okay.
So now it's another ridiculous story from a guy in Florida.
It's like watching bad line play from your left tackle. And it's like, oh, now you're just keyed in on him. So anytime he does something, you're more apt to pick up on it.
So the challenge is this. Head on over to Google. And when you go to Google, you type in Florida, then the word man, and then you type in your birthday. Which means Florida man, you type out the month of your birthday, and then put the number. So December 13th, right?
Yeah.
So you type in Florida man, December, the number 13, what do you get?
Florida man accused of killing his teen daughter and niece. He will be extradited to Virginia.
Of course, it's insanity. It is wild, violent crime.
His name's Soman, C-O-M-A-N.
Do you want to know my two top results?
Sure.
Top result is number one, Florida man, 71, accused of repeatedly exposing himself at eateries, placed on house arrest. That was
I'm sorry. I think these are so funny.
Do you know what number two is? Number two on the list? Again, it's the first, whatever your first Google result is, that's what your Florida man meme is. My number two, just for fun, because I couldn't avoid seeing this, Florida man killed with axe in fight over beer. lottery tickets.
They have drive-in ones, too. It's so funny. Like drive-through beer.
Hardy, what'd you get?
So is there a is there one site that will do it? Because I did. So here, I'm typing in.
You just Google it.
Florida.
Man.
Man. And then March 30th.
March 30th. Type it in.
30.
What's your result?
First one.
This is why everyone is Googling the Florida man on their birthday. But. It's just stories about.
Oh, interesting. What does that mean? Because it's now all stories about Florida man stories. Yes. How did that happen?
You don't actually have anything on yours.
Maybe Hardy. I can't find anything on my birthday.
Hold on.
Help me.
Hold on. The first one in your Google results. If you skip by the stories about Florida man, it's this on your birthday. Milton man, and it says a Florida man, Pensacola. Florida man hits pregnant girlfriend with bag of tortilla chips over baby's paternity.
But you see, that was published on March 14th.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
I want to find something that happened on my
birthday.
Because
my results didn't necessarily happen. It could be the date that it's published. It could be the date of the incident. Could be a date of it. It's whatever it is.
Okay, I found something from Esquire that may be better than all of that.
Okay, what
the
is it?
The 69 wildest Florida man headlines of 2019 so far. Let me just handpick a few of these.
Sure.
January 4th, Florida man arrested after hitting dad with pizza because he was mad he helped birth him.
Okay. Next.
January 11th, Florida man chews up police car seat after cocaine arrest.
Maybe he thought he was like in that movie The Hangover and he was the tiger in the back seat that they stole.
January 14th, Florida man threatens to kill man with kindness, uses machete named Kindness.
That's pretty good. I like that one.
That's really good.
Florida man accused of luring kids tells cops he can't recall as he drinks 18 to 20 beers before talking to the children.
He's not even coherent. Do you have any more exposing ones? Those ones are so funny to me. Like
January 22nd, Florida man caught
71-year-old Florida man exposing himself in local eateries.
I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A.
Florida man caught exposing himself in Walmart pillow aisle.
That is Florida, man. That is Florida.
Do you know that you could park in Walmart parking lots?
Anywhere.
I didn't know that.
It's allowed.
I had no clue. Like, you could go on a trip across the country and say you want to stay in your car or in your van. You could park in Walmart parking lots
and do that.
Park your van?
Yeah, just stay. Yeah.
As long as you like.
Instead of, like, going to a camping
truck
place.
Drivers do it. A lot of truckers.
Very nice Walmart.
Ian is in Malden on the Florida Man Challenge. Ian.
Hey, I'm pretty sure I got this locked up. I just happened to search my birthday, and it was the day where the police found the guy who was high on bath salts and he was eating the other man's face.
So what's that headline?
That is the gold standard.
Now what is that? How's the headline read?
Oh my god.
I don't have it up on my phone right now, but it was like,
all right, what's your birthday?
May 26th.
All right, we'll get it. We'll get it, Ian. May 26th, Florida man. We'll get it.
February 14th, Florida man caught licking camera doorbell.
What, he pushed his tongue too hard? And too
yeah, wow,
the
this
thing?
Is to the point.
I'm cleaning it.
Miami police shoot and kill man eating another man's face. CBS Miami. May 26, 2012.
February 15th. Hello. These are all this year. Florida man claiming people were eating his brains leads police on insane golf course chase.
Only in Florida. This stuff doesn't happen elsewhere.
A lot of golf courses.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. So that's the Florida Man Challenge. Hopefully you're Googling that for yourself today. 617-779-0985. 90 seconds, no commercials. The noontime hour is here. And we got open phone lines. You want to grab one.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.